In the words of the legendary Lou Gellerman, hello, dog fans, and welcome to the Sound the Siren podcast, because everything matters. I am not your typical host, Hooligan7. This is JCap, and I'm joined tonight by DJ, and we have our special guest for the night, defensive lineman edge, Zach Durfee. Zach, appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
All right. How's your evening going?
Fantastic. How about you?
Been good, been good. End of a long week, but been looking forward to this, so we're chilling now. All right. Well, I mean, I'm sure it's been a pretty hectic couple of months over there at on Montlake with everything been going on. First, just what was that whole process like for you with the obviously the big coaching change, and what was your kind of thought process through all of that kind of shift going on over there?
I would say right away it was pretty tough, just with the relationships and just that incredible season just felt, came to such an abrupt end just with everything. I mean, we have so many NFL guys who had to leave no matter what to go train, but that and the coaches, it just felt pretty strange. But I mean, recently, or I guess throughout the process, I never really thought anything but here. I was just obviously anxious, seeing, because you never know what's going to happen, who's going to come in. But I couldn't be happier with that, and I think everyone on the team would double down on that and say we are as happy as we could be with what we've got. We're hyped, and yeah, I don't even really think about it anymore. I'm locked in. We're all locked in. So it's been actually pretty good.
Good to hear that. Good to hear that. I mean, that was going to be my follow-up there. It was did you ever at any point kind of consider your options and like think about hitting the portal at all?
Yeah, I never did. Just mainly due to, I mean, this year having to sit out through all that process,
Mm-hmm.
and I don't even, I just want to play football. I don't want to get into all that again.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And then kind of first impressions of Coach Fish, man. How'd that go? How'd those initial team meetings go, and what made you kind of buy into what they're selling over there?
Yeah, they were all amazing. Dilar. I would say we all bought in, just because I think the way he speaks and just the information he provided us, just everything he says to us, provides to us, shows us already. He's bought in. He's all in on Washington, and so I mean that's all we need. So yeah, they all went really well.
Yeah, I mean it from the interviews that he's done publicly, both like the press conferences and then like the radio spots and stuff. He seemed like very blunt and to the point. Does that kind of carry over to how he is with the team in the meetings?
Yeah, I would say he
Right
gets,
on.
yeah, he gets his point across. Sure.
Fair enough. Early experiences with him, like obviously we don't want to talk too much about previous staff and all that kind of stuff, but stylistically, you see any differences in the way that Coach Fish runs things versus how our previous staff was doing anything last year?
I guess that's hard to say. I don't want to discredit anything the last staff did. They got me here, and I'm still big fans of them. So I guess it's hard to say right now because we haven't really started the football side of things. We've just been training and stuff, starting some meetings, but think that's hard to answer right now, to be honest.
Fair enough, fair enough. I know it's pretty early in the process, only what, less than a month or so into Fish's tenure here. So, and then previous staff, there wasn't a whole lot of experience in terms of guys or coaches that had any experience coaching in the NFL. But Coach Fish's staff here, obviously, he talks all the time about NFL versus NIL and that kind of stuff in the media and all of his hires pretty much, well, maybe not all of them, but either have NFL playing or coaching experience. Does the building feel any different from a professionalism standpoint, or does it feel different having those coaches and that have played or coached at the highest level?
I think it feels different in a different some kind of way. I think everyone's a little excited about that. I mean, getting to meet with Belichick, I mean, that was just the first time, first like defensive meeting. That was electric. Like I was hyped the whole time. I mean, that's you just sit down and really think about it. Like you're in football legacy, like royalty, and like I don't think any of us are trying to take that for granted. So it's been, I mean, yeah, you see all the NFL logos and stuff all around, like where they've been and stuff. So it obviously has an impact on you. You have a different type of respect for someone who's reached that level, because that's what we're all trying to do. So, yeah, I would say it's just been electric. It's been motivating.
Yeah, and as Jacob said, those coaches with the NFL experience, they're mostly on the defensive side too, like which is obviously the side of the ball you play on. You think you'll see Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll around the office anytime?
Pete was in like the locker room or something the other day. Some teammates got
Oh,
us.
dang.
That was like a couple weeks ago, but and I hope so. I would love to see those guys around. I'm sure they're for sure going to be at practice. We'll have sure plenty of coaches and stuff come through practice. So yeah, I was 100% he'll be in the building, but I can't wait.
That's awesome.
With regard to Steve Belichick, I mean, he doesn't have any sort of social media presence or anything like that. You don't see him up on the podiums or anything like that very much, if ever. What's his kind of personality like? I mean, all we see is him on the sideline of Patriots games, but from somebody that's been in some meetings with him now at this point, what are your impressions of him?
First of all, I already love that guy. I would say his personality is exactly what you think the son of Bill Belichick would be. It's like you're hearing the wisdom pass through to a son, and you're hearing it from him in a new, younger, learn from the mistakes perspective. And I mean, I think it's awesome. It's awesome.
Fair enough. You're still rocking that mullet that we've seen on some of the graphics there.
He's got a little bit of flow. It's a mullet. It's hair. I'm not really.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, your experience last year with having to sit out, and what was the toughest part of that for you? Just kind of having to sit and probably participate in practices and scout team and all that kind of stuff. What kept you engaged there?
So I would say the hardest part, or I'll start with what kept me engaged. I would just say, man, like my goals are bigger than just like college football. I want to play in the NFL. I want to make that a reality. So putting in the work and facing two of the best tackles, the best O line in college football every single day, just took it as a chance. Like, I mean, you can just get better. I mean, yeah, I'm just driven for higher things that I want for myself. So that wasn't really ever a challenge, but that's kind of what I took away from it. But I think the hardest part, obviously, is when you have a team that good, you know, arguably one of the best teams in Husky history. I mean, just the hype around it, everything was, you guys know as Husky fans, it was like a perfect season on just everything. And yeah, getting to watch my brothers like succeed and do all that was amazing. I realized that I also don't play football for like even myself or my family. I just play it because I guess for myself, but I just love being a teammate. Like that's just a fun thing to just be a part of. So it was amazing, but yeah, it's challenging not being able to, you know, make plays that you think you can make and go out there and disrupt a game and, you know, be on that spotlight and just, you know, have a part in the winning the games. But yeah, I would say it was just challenging not being able to be there and contribute. But it was still a wonderful season. I mean, crazy season, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah, amazing season. When in regards to that ineligibility, when did you find out? Like, because I mean, I don't think you, from what we understand and heard, that, you know, we all anticipated you to be eligible. Like, did it happen like right before the season, or like, it happened earlier on, just wasn't announced, or what?
Yeah, I found out like a week before fall camp started.
Oh, dang.
And then obviously I was like, I was pretty optimistic actually, like pretty much every week. You know, we were like, oh, we're getting closer, maybe something week after week, hearing stuff, and then it's never happened, which was it was disappointing. But yeah, I can't change it now. But yeah, I didn't know. You know, I kind of always knew throughout that since I got here, I'd have to file for the waiver. But a lot of things go into it, man. Like the rules were changed for the 444 after I was already here taking classes. That's insane. Met every guideline, did everything to do, but they weren't budging. So, I mean, it is what it is. Definitely had faith I was going to beat it, but yeah, I can't change that now.
Yeah, they're passing out waivers like none other before then. So everyone expected you to be out there. And so, yeah, I think they must have kept it on the wraps for a little bit, because I don't think we found out till like, I don't know.
It was right before the season that it got.
Yeah, like a week before, maybe.
Released publicly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a wide receiver out of North Carolina that had a pretty similar situation to what yours was. And I remember when he got his waiver, everyone was like, oh, Zach's going to get his. It's got to happen soon. And then we kept waiting for it week after week. And I'm sure, like for us as fans, that was super frustrating to watch because we wanted to see you out there. But I'm sure for you and for the team, it was even a bit more frustrating to sit through.
Yeah.
Do you lose a year of eligibility too with that, or you get that back, or what?
I'm hoping to get it back, but they did take that year. Yes.
Dang, that's unfortunate. So, what do you got? 2 years left. One.
Kind of crazy. Going into last season, I would have had 3.
Oh, dang!
Throughout that process, I lost the year and a COVID year, so I'm actually down to 1, but. Could be 2, but it's pretty wild.
But well, I'm coming out of that.
Back, oh, so
go ahead. Sorry,
I'm gonna try to get the year back, so it should be 2 years. But when it is, then when it is.
Fair enough. So coming out of that ineligibility, you got to make your D1 Power 5 debut on the biggest of stages. What was that experience like for your first game as a Husky to be in the college football playoff?
Oh, yeah, that was super cool. And, I mean, we won, so that was that was just a cool experience for sure. Just my family being there, like people watching back home, just getting to see me even on the field for a little bit was pretty cool.
And then Houston, obviously not the result you wanted, but what was that experience like, just that whole week of being down there for the game and the whole experience of being involved in the national championship?
Yeah, that was pretty surreal. That's that was super cool. All the things that go into it, like the media days and the different events and stuff they do for you and like your hotel and all that. And I mean, fans everywhere the whole week. It was just a wild time. It's just super cool, super eye-opening to just like, you know, when you watch as a kid, like when I was watching all the, still do the national championship games, like you realize how big of a setting it is, but then you don't realize what's actually like there. And so it's kind of cool to like understand that, and just the crazy atmosphere of how much every play matters and stuff was just, it was surreal.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool seeing all the media stuff that Casey and the team were doing out of Houston there, and then getting to see Dame get involved with the swag bags and stuff. That looked pretty sweet. Was it you get to meet him and take some pictures with him?
Yeah, I did. That was super cool.
Right on. And then do you have any sort of personal goals in terms of like production this season, or you? Are you the type to set goals for a season before you start?
I definitely do set goals. I wouldn't say they're production-based goals. because I think you can have, I mean, production is not always the exact showcase of like an impact on the game. But yeah, I have a lot of personal goals, team goals. I'm still kind of in the process of crafting them. I'm meeting with my coaches and stuff, like Kafusi, the D-line coach, and started working on some of those things. So I'm trying to narrow them down. But yeah, definitely do have some goals. I guess you're curious what they are.
If you got any.
I mean, we have a team like we want to get back to the college football playoff. We expect nothing less. So, I mean, right now I'm pretty just focused on like team goals. I just want to do things with my teammates and get closer and chase this thing. So, we all know what we want. We want to get back to that stage, and then, like Fish says, we just got to get there and we'll figure it out from there. But we're gonna give everything we have. And we're gonna make the playoff again. So that's really the goal I have now. So it's just every day. Maybe even if I only have 1 year left, every day is just I just get better every day. I'm like at least something. But I mean, we're working hard, extra work. Coaches, starting meeting with coaches and stuff, figuring out the scheme. We have all the trust in the world and our coaches. So I mean, yeah, we're chasing this thing.
Fair
Nice.
enough.
Like to hear
Good to
it.
hear it.
So you don't have any, I mean, at least not yet, any production type goals, but what about like an off season? Like, do you want to, any weight you want to gain or anything come to strength and conditioning and things like that?
Yeah, I'm sure we're still figuring out those because obviously we have the new strength
Yeah,
stat.
true.
Amazing. So I mean, we're still probably kind of figuring out those testing goals, what they want, because we kind of follow their. I mean. We follow their instructions to get better. So I mean, maybe put on a little bit of weight, lean out a little bit, just get bigger, faster, stronger, and that's exactly what we're doing. I mean, yeah, in terms of physical, I would just say a little bit heavier, a little bit leaner, and just a whole lot stronger.
I know that you've been with the team only for one season now. I know you got to experience at least being on the sidelines and stuff like that for the Oregon rivalry game and the Pac-12 championship game. Does it feel weird to have that as your end of season rivalry game now and have the Apple Cup be earlier in the year?
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. That is pretty strange.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool though. I think that's pretty electric. The last game, and then Wazoo's at Seahawks
Yeah,
Field.
Lumen Field this year. Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that's pretty cool. So I haven't.
Really getting thrown into the NFL feel, huh?
But yeah, no, I guess I'm excited for that. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, we're gonna get to watch UW Oregon and Michigan Ohio State on the same day and
Yeah,
big rivalry weekend. That'll be pretty nuts.
that's nice.
DJ, you have anything else before we hit into these other questions from the listeners and stuff?
No, not really. But yeah, that's gonna be a lot different for, especially us fans. It's been the fans for 20, 30 years. Yeah, used to the Apple Cup game being on Thanksgiving weekend. It's gonna be different with Oregon, but I'm all for it. Like, I mean, I don't know how you guys feel as players, but as fans, I say the vast majority think of Oregon as their main rival or over WSU, and then obviously with the conference change, that affects it too. So yeah, it's gonna be different, but I'm excited for it.
We'll hop into some other stuff here. Pre-game rituals or meals? Do you have anything like that for yourself?
I always pray before games. It just gives me such a comforting just feeling knowing that no matter what happens, like I can just play free. Pre-game stuff. So I probably have a lot of things that I do that I don't even think of. Pre-game meal. We kind of usually have the same kind of team meal, so just kind of have that, and then I'm not, I mean, yeah, I guess I listen to whatever music that I'm feeling at the time. So Guess I don't have too many rituals, no.
Yeah, that was another follow-up question another guy had was, do you have any songs that you get you hyped up before a game in particular?
Man, there's so many good hype songs. Like it could be whatever I'm feeling at the moment. I like to listen to a lot of Lil Baby before games. Yeah, it could be anyone. I'll even listen to Justin Bieber before games. Whatever gets me feeling excited, I don't know. But yeah, nothing too specific, more just like a whole playlist.
Fair enough. Staying on the topic of music, we had someone ask, who's the last guy in the locker room that you give the aux cord to?
Oh, the last guy. On a bad day, or here's what I'll say: on a good day, I'll give the aux cord to Elijah Jackson. But on a bad day, I will not give it to Elijah Jackson.
What's he playing on a bad day?
I don't know. That's why. Elijah plays a lot of different music, so it's either like hit or miss, and hit. I make fun of him for it. He'll defend himself. He'll say that he's actually always playing good music. It's just he's playing it for different listeners, which I agree with that argument. But yeah, that's the answer I'm going with.
Fair enough. We had somebody else ask, what are some of your favorite hobbies outside of ball?
I'm a really big homebody. I can't lie. So it could really be anything. I'm last minute with plans with friends, like just hanging out. Love to be on the water. The lake here in the summer is beautiful. Obviously, I like to play video games sometimes with my friends, just chill. Like watching NBA a lot.
Who's your team?
Don't really have a team. I mean, being from Minnesota, I root for the T-Wolves. But I don't.
Oh, I like them.
Yeah.
Pride
But
of
I'm a.
Washington, Jaden
McDaniel's on the team. Yeah, they got a
McDaniels.
squad. I think they're first
Yeah, they're pretty
Western
good.
Conference.
Hopefully, they make a
Cool.
playoff. I'm a LeBron guy, though, so I kind of always cheer for
Yeah.
LeBron's on. But I just like a lot of good players. I still love basketball. I used to play a lot. And I've just always enjoyed watching, like, just good players play basketball. So that's what I would say.
Yeah, I'm a Bron guy. Jay Capp is a basketball hater,
Hey,
so don't mind him.
I wouldn't call myself a basketball hater. I'm just not the biggest fan in the crew, but it's okay. Everybody's got their
I'm a big
thing.
fan.
I like Wembanyama a lot now too.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's only because I'll just put on like their game highlights and all the plays he makes, and they just all look just insane. So I'm just wondering how good he's gonna end up being. I just think that's cool.
Yeah, he looks legit. My wife gets scared watching him play just because of how he looks. But yeah, he's a great player.
He looks like he could get hurt at any second. I've only
I
seen a
know.
few highlights, but dude looks like he could break at any moment. Let's see here. How big of a culture shock was it for you coming to Seattle from Sioux Falls?
I would say, as far as coming to the city, it was pretty crazy. I didn't really know what all entailed city life. Unfortunately, there is a lot of homeless people and stuff. That's a lot different than even Sioux Falls, especially like small towns where I'm from. That's super unfortunate. The culture shock, I don't know, it kind of feels kind of the it's a lot more, I feel like people are a lot more open, like express themselves. Like there's so many different personalities like everywhere here. But maybe in the Midwest it's a lot more, people are kind of more the same, maybe act kind of the same way. But I would say the biggest change is just being in a big city. I think that changes everything. I've never really lived in a big city except Seattle now, so that could be what I said could be true for all cities. So I'm not really sure. The locker room was pretty similar. Just a lot of great guys that are all get along, so not really sure, to be honest.
Fair enough. Another one. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I would say, as far as Seattle goes, the people in their sports teams, that is a little different.
How so?
Seattle, like everyone in Seattle is diehard riding for the Seattle sports teams.
That is true. That is true. It's a pretty good sports town here.
Yeah, that's different from Sioux Falls, obviously, because Sioux Falls, South Dakota, we don't even have pro teams there. But, yeah, I like that.
Fair enough.
In the locker room at Sioux Falls, what are they listening to? Are they listening to country? Are they all types of music or what?
It's all kinds of music. I feel like that's everywhere with football. I mean, we had a bunch of JUCO guys from Cali. We had people from Texas, Florida.
True, yeah.
There, so, yeah, you can hear anything.
Do you have an NFL enough. Team that you like?
I mean, Vikings still, you know, because hometown and stuff, but hopefully I'm playing there in a couple of years, so that'll be my favorite team. So I don't really get too kind of fanboying over the current teams now. You know, I might have to learn to hate them one day, so.
Yeah, you don't have any tweets to come back and backfire on you in the league in a few years.
With so much roster turnover, obviously you mentioned a bunch of the guys going to the NFL and then coaching staff changes and new guys coming in. And we've already seen a big wave of guys that transferred over from Arizona into the locker room with Coach Fish. What are your first impressions of some of these newer guys? I know they had some early enrollees, but transfers already. Guys like Jonah Coleman and Ephesians and these kinds of guys. Are they already in the locker room doing stuff with you guys and training? And what are your first impressions of any of those guys?
Yeah, they actually aren't really like around or trained with us because they're not enrolled here.
Oh, gotcha.
They can't enroll here in school yet, so like the March. Or whatever the quarter thing is. So don't really have too many impressions right now, but I trust that everyone they're going to bring in are people that are going to help us win and fit our culture. So I would assume all those things about those guys.
Fair enough.
I can't pronounce his name. The offensive lineman from San Diego State is, Drew? I think he was supposed to enroll. Yeah. Early enroll. Is he?
Drew's here. Yep.
Drew's here. Okay.
So all those guys that signed in the December signing period that were already committed pre-coaching staff, they're already in there?
Yep. Like, Bastian Valdez as well.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are going to see is an absolute beast. For everyone, all the fans listening, Sebastian Valdez will be an absolute beast.
We need him.
Yes, love to hear that.
So if they're all the guys that are following Fish from Arizona aren't there, must feel kind of empty, not necessarily like fully empty, but like
yeah,
there's a bunch of space.
Yeah, definitely don't miss so many players. I don't even know how many we have right now. We have, 120 at one point. Now we have, I don't know, 70, 80, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, so, got a lot of space.
Does it feel empty? Not at all, though, because we still have a good core of people that are here that were on the team for all the last two, like family now and the new staff. Like, we love them, so it doesn't feel empty at all.
Have you seen any of the guys that's going to NFL? Are they? I know I've seen like J Mac down in training in Fresno, where he's from. But like, any of the guys still hanging around? Maybe they're still in school or something. I don't know.
I've seen Sky, and then Dev Culp. Who else have I seen? So guys, you know, coming to get like treatment and stuff in the locker room and do some training. Thule. I can't say that I've seen anyone else. I'll be playing video games and stuff with Braylon Trice though, so I kind of keep in touch with him. But no, I haven't got to see him too much, but I mean, they're chasing their dreams. They're working hard. They're busy. So, like, I can't. I mean, they have no reason to come back right now.
Yeah. We asked some of your impressions of some of the other newer coaches and that kind of stuff. But your defensive line coach, Jason Cafusi, what do you think of him? And what do you think he brings to the team?
Yeah, I love Cafusi. He brings so much energy to the room, so much just like love and energy. I mean, I think you need that when you're coaching an entire D-line unit. You need to be, I mean, it's a family. We're a lot of just, I guess, big, hardworking guys who do stuff in the trenches and stuff, and it's just a big, like, family feel. We're gonna work hard. Gonna be a unit that, like, doesn't skip out on the little things. We're gonna go the extra distance. I mean, he's so far, I mean, he's been amazing. I think everyone else would say the same thing. So I'm super excited. We're all super excited to get to work with him.
Right on. We had one question from a listener that was a little more ball specific. Do you feel like the last staff and allowed enough creativity with edge pass rush? I feel like we saw a lot of straight and power rush when ZTF and Co. had more in their bag. You have anything on that?
I mean, I think there was definitely freedom. There was a lot put on the edges as far as responsibility. I think a lot of the time it got to be too much like mental warfare and not just thinking how to win a rush and worrying about maybe too many things before the snap. And that can, I mean, that changes your life as a pass rusher because, I mean, just a little bit of hesitation can change the world. So I think a lot of it could have been maybe mental, but I mean, I don't know. I think there was opportunities there. I'm not going to say that people weren't like put in positions to succeed, but I mean, I don't know. I don't want to diss the previous staff or say anything. I mean, I don't really know.
Fair
Kind of a
enough.
hard to answer. I mean, I can't. It's hard for me to answer that because I wasn't even playing in the games.
I hear
I want to speak,
you.
bro.
Let's see here. Oh, how does it differ when you have a whole D-line coach in the meeting rooms versus having a defensive line coach and an edge-specific coach?
Definitely differs. It definitely makes the room more fun. You have a lot more personality, and D tackles are always just a funny group to be around. That's how I had it in Sioux Falls. We were just one D line, and that was super good time. I guess we're gonna see because when you start watching practice, you know, when it was just edges, you just watch, you know, both the edges who usually have different responsibilities, you just watch that. But now it's gonna be all four, maybe five across the line. So it'll definitely differ with how we watch film and all that. But I liked it at Sioux Falls because you also get to see, you know, what the inside guys are taught, how they're supposed to win reps and all that stuff. So you can kind of bring some of that over to your game and hear, you know, hear more things repetitively about get off and all this stuff. You get to hear more coaching. So, I mean, I think it's got its pros and cons. Maybe you can't take as much time explaining certain things to, you know, because you've got two position groups, but I'm excited for it.
That makes sense. Have they mentioned or talked about like what kind of defensive front that you guys are going to be running?
I mean, there's a bunch of that goes in the team. That could be all game plans. So, I mean,
Okay.
there's not really one front, I guess, in plays. I guess there's a base defense we're just getting to. So, I mean, we'll figure out more about that.
I think the last one we have from the listeners, who's the funniest guy in the defensive meeting room?
There's a lot of everyone's pretty funny. I would say one of those guys who will definitely keep a room in just like high spirits. I would say he's always ready to say something funny or a snark little comment. So I would say Bandas.
All right,
That's cool.
DJ, got anything else for him?
Yeah, I got one more question. So, obviously, you have high aspirations to make an NFL, and like we all think really highly of you. Like no joke, you should see like some of the group chats. Like we're waiting for you to make your appearance out there on the field, and so we're stoked when you got eligible. But say football doesn't work out, or I guess maybe I should say after football, like what is something that you would like to do with life? Like, do you have another career you want to pursue or anything like that?
That's always, it's kind of hard for me to answer now because I always used to, like, growing up, I always wanted to be in the medical field, and because that's kind of like or my parents have done. So I kind of always wanted to do something like that, maybe dentistry, but that's kind of changed just because that's kind of hard to get into med school and do all that stuff with football. I guess I would love to like train athletes one day. I mean, maybe in like my own facility, just be able to train like group athletes and just be able to like help them. Like, I don't know. I think it's cool being a factor in other people's success. So I'm sure that would give me a lot of joy and not even make it feel like I'm working. Maybe real estate, stuff like that. Just smart money decisions. So I never really have to work, hopefully, but I can just do what I enjoy. I don't know, man. I just want to help people in some way. Whether that could be, I don't even know, but hopefully I have a lot of time to figure all that out. Yeah, the more I learn from seeing new schemes and learning defenses and being around all these great players, the more it makes me want to think like maybe I would coach one day. So
Oh yeah.
I used to think I would never want to do that. Just there's so much time goes into just like just had a computer watching film and all that stuff. But I
And
still
recruiting for college.
yeah.
recruiting. Yeah, thing is, I mean, all the coaches say it's probably the worst part, just because you have to like kiss ass to a bunch of high schoolers who 80% of them aren't even gonna commit to you. So that's just probably all the travel and all the hours away from your family. It's tough, but I mean, I don't know. It seems like everyone who does it seems to really love it and enjoy it. Because I mean, our coaches, old staff and new staff, they're in the building all day. I mean, they're constantly working to make the team better. So like something about it must be pretty special.
Oh yeah. Cool. Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah, it's good to have some options out there, and those the ones you mentioned, they're all really good options in my opinion. I guess I have one more, but it's an easy question. What's your highest vertical leap that you've tested on?
When?
When? Or like any ever, like when like ever that you had.
Think my highest ever was, I think last year I jumped 36.9 standing. I'm probably right now maybe 35. I think I just got 35 the other week when we first started. So, that's with the jump mat, so I'm not really sure what the reach would be, but that's yeah. Maybe highest ever was like a 38, 39.
That's crazy. What? 'Cause how big are you? What are you like?
Right now I'm 260.
260? Damn.
Jeez.
That's
39 and
impressive.
260 is bananas.
Yeah.
I did think of one more. Who are some edge players that you watch? I know you want to like create your own game and be your own player, but who are some guys that you like to watch a lot of film of?
Yeah. I think it's important that you should be your own player, but you should definitely like people that do it better than you at a higher level. You should always take parts from everyone's game. So Ben Kramer, our kind of like our combat and our like sports science, strength coach guy. I'm sure you guys have heard of him.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of those boxing training videos.
Yeah, he so I do a lot of like pastoral stuff with him. We all do, and then I do, like other people, I'm one of them who do like one-on-one sessions and stuff. And I mean, he's amazing. So he actually sends us like a lot of little like film cut-ups of guys in the NFL like showing the moves and stuff. So I see a bunch from everyone, but I would say I like watching a lot of Nick Bosa, T.J. Watt, Micah Parsons. I mean, there's so many. I could go on and on. I mean, there's just so many good players at the edge position. It's a high value spot in football right now. I feel like you see a lot of the best athletes starting to become edge rushers instead of maybe up somewhere else. And so it's just there's so much talent. I mean, like Myles Garrett. I mean, every team, pretty much every team now has one or two really good edges. I mean, Jalen Phillips, there's so many guys. So I mean, yeah. Even Trice watching, I think I took a lot of pieces from Trice game. I gotta sit in every meeting, every watch every game and break down all the film. So I got to learn a lot from that.
Right on, man. Well, we appreciate you taking the time with us tonight. Really cool
Yes.
to have you on and hear some of your perspective and some of your answers on the new coaching staff. And then I'll give you a second there to address the Husky fans if you want to say anything to them.
Think, man, all I can say is that we got a lot of just hungry guys. Sorry about the voice crack. We got a lot of guys who I think have a lot to prove. A lot of people who want to, get their fair share and like attack this thing. We gotta. I think everyone's super happy for just the new challenge. Maybe you could call it a challenge, whatever you want to call it. But I would say to the fans that we are working extremely hard, and with our coaches and everything, I mean, we should be special. We should be so special. So I would just say, keep supporting everyone. Do everything you can to support every teammate, every player on the team. But yeah, we're working extremely hard. That's really all my mindset's on right now, and I think everyone else is just attacking every day. And yeah, we're not, we don't want to, why not? That's our kind of thing. Like, why not, like, Chase, why not be better than we were last year? You know what I mean? You can say that sounds crazy, but, I mean, honestly, I don't give a damn. We're gonna be just fine, and we're attacking it. So that's what I would say.
Right on. Well, again, we appreciate you coming on. Thanks so much for joining us, and thanks everybody for listening. And until next time, go Dogs.
Go Dogs. Thank you, Zach.
Sir. Now, thank you guys.